Thank you. You may be seated. We'll ask our minister, Dr. Brian, if he would come now and lead us to the throne in grace.
I'm trying to get that door wedged open to give you guys a bit of air. Somebody else is asking about windows. I think you're going to need those windows open as well. Hope you've all got your perfume and your aftershave on. Otherwise it could become very uncomfortable for some. Right, let's pray without any further ado. Or before I start insulting somebody. And you'll come up and check me and see if I've got my aftershave on. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for thy mercy. We praise thee for the collection of young people that are here tonight. We thank thee for safe travel in their way coming here. We pray that thou will give them safe travel home. But in between, as they sit here for the meeting, as they listen to the singing, as they hear the prayers that are offered, the scripture that is read, the preaching of thy word by Pastor Moreland, we pray, Lord, that thou will come down in power upon us. And they will not just be here ticking a box and going through an exercise, or even to meet friends, good though that certainly is. But we pray that thou will speak very powerfully unto our hearts. Where the presence of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of God is coming, there is that great liberty. And Lord, we need that kind of liberty in our land today because so many are caught up in the bondage of sin, living lives that are pretty much dead ends, hitting the buffers before they get properly going because they're on the wrong track and walking down the broad road. We pray that they will flee for refuge that is set before them in the gospel. They'll run into Christ and that they'll find a life, therefore, to be lived to the full, a life that is satisfying, a life in the Saviour's own words that is eternal, that is abundant. And we pray that thou wilt help each one of us to live life to the full in the way that thou dost will and in the way that thou wouldst command and enable. So bless this meeting. From beginning, the choruses and the hymns that are sung, right to the final appeal at the end, we pray that thy presence will be real, that the call will go out to serve thee, and that young lives, and what potential there is in a meeting like this, where young lives hearing the call of God are saying, I'm going forward, though none should join me, still I will follow, no turning back. Be with us tonight. Pour out thy blessing upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
At this point in our meeting, we'll just run through a number of announcements very quickly to get them out of the way. The next youth rally will be on the 18th of June. And we're looking forward to that youth rally. And the details of that will be on social media as usual. Then there'll be supper as usual afterwards, the meeting tonight. Make your way up to the hall, up the stairs as usual, and do stay for a time of food and fellowship. If we could just ask if we could let the folks from Crown get up first of all, and just to give them a bit of time to get up there, and then the rest of us to make our way up to the top floor for the food. I've been asked to mention a number of youth council events. The Castle Wellham weekend will be, as usual, on the May Day Bank Holiday weekend, the 29th of April to the 1st of May. There are a number of places still available, although I don't think there are too many left. So if you're wanting to go to that weekend, do try and get your form in as quickly as possible. Other youth rallies, next Sunday night, the 23rd of April, of announcement here at 9 o'clock. That is in Randallstown, I presume. The speaker will be Mr. David Johnston on the subject, What Does the Bible Say About War? And I'm sure that'll be a very interesting meeting. And there'll be supper afterwards provided, and everyone is welcome to that youth rally. So do, if you're free and available next Sunday night, do support the folks up there and enjoy that meeting with Mr. David Johnston. We're going to sing another hymn just before I hand over the meeting to the staff and students from Crown. We've had them in the evening service already, and we've been wonderfully blessed by both their ministry and song, and also by the message brought so far by Pastor Derek Moreland, and we're delighted once again to have them over in Northern Ireland and to be hosting them here at the Martyrs Memorial. We do always enjoy them coming over. They've been coming over for many years. I was in short trousers when Pastor Sexton first came over, and we really enjoy the fellowship with the folks from Crown College and the staff and students from the Crown UK. So after the singing of this hymn, we're going to hand the meeting over to them. We're looking forward to the programme, to the ministry and song, and to the word brought this evening. So we're looking forward to that. But beforehand, we're going to all stand and we're going to sing this lovely piece, "The Lord's My Shepherd, I'll Not Want. He makes me lie in pastures green." Let's all stand then and sing.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul, and I will trust in you alone. And I will trust in you alone. For your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me home. He guides my way.
Thank you, Pastor Moreland. You're more than welcome.
Good evening to you all. Thank you very much for the opportunity and privilege to be with you tonight. And we're delighted to be here once again with you for this youth fellowship. I'm going to ask these students to come right along now and take their place up here if they would. And they'll introduce themselves. They'll tell you their name and where they're from. And we'll get right into it with a couple of songs. They're going to begin with singing "I'm Still Amazed" and "In the Depths of the Sea." And it's good to have Susanna with him. Many of you recognize this face. We have a multicultural group of students this term, some from the States as usual, some from England, Wales, one from Northern Ireland, and a number from the Netherlands. And we're excited about what God is doing. Some of you are not real familiar with the program, the Bible College program we have in the UK, but it is a 3-day in the classroom studies and then 3 days on the field. And then one day off. Monday's their day off. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday's an intense days, 3 intense days of lectures. And then Friday, they're sent out to one of our churches where they serve Friday, Saturday, and Sunday practically. We hope they take the things that they've learned and apply them. Street preaching, open-air ministry, door-to-door evangelism, youth rallies, homeless outreach, English classes, Sunday school, you get the idea. And so that's the pattern of our program, and these young people have been serving this past year, this past term. They're coming to the end of their term, and we're delighted to be able to have a little bit of time in Northern Ireland before they sit their final exams. So please pray for them, and they are nearing that ominous date, but we're glad that they're here. Introduce yourselves, friends, and then we'll begin with these two songs, and we'll have a testimony in between in just a moment.
Hello, my name's Abigail, and I'm from Michigan.
Hello, I'm Hannah, and I'm from California.
My name is Lydia, and I'm from Minnesota.
My name is Haley, and I'm from Virginia.
My name is Mary, and I'm from the Netherlands.
My name is Naomi, and I'm from Ohio.
My name is Haley, and I'm from Tennessee.
My name is Danaya, I'm from the Netherlands.
My name is Shelby, I'm from Georgia.
My name is Stevie, and I'm from Oxford, England.
My name is Caitlin, I'm from Ohio.
My name is Nathan, and I'm from North Carolina.
My name is Alex, I'm from the Netherlands.
My name is Pizza, I'm from Exeter, in England.
My name is Garrett, and I am from Ohio.
My name is Ruben, and I am from the Netherlands.
My name is Jonathan, and I am from the Netherlands.
Hello, my name is Nathan, and I am from Kentucky.
My name is Jace, and I am from Georgia.
My name is Jonathan.
Shoulder my sin with
from sky to sky.
But there is a place where man has obeyed, and that's where my Lord says he's buried my sin. In the depths of the sea of God's forgetfulness, removed as he is from where, far away from all power and principality, my sins are in the depths of the sea. Gone are the shackles, gone are the stains, I'm free from the bondage, free from the chain. My sins have separated.
Reuben, why don't you stay here with me for just a minute? I've asked Reuben to share his testimony with you. We currently have four Dutch students studying at Crown Hall, and Reuben is hanging out with us for a little while. Reuben is tomorrow's youngest brother. I'm going to tell a little bit of his testimony whilst he lets his nerves settle down. This will be the first time he's ever shared his testimony, because he's only just been saved a couple of months ago. And I'm glad he's with us. When I first met Reuben, I knew he was going to be a hard case. He stood outside the meetings, smoking a few fags, not really interested at all in the gospel. And immediately, I began praying for him. We've been going to the Netherlands now for many years, holding gospel meetings, and since September been going once a month to hold gospel meetings, and sometimes Tamara would persuade him to come, and he would always sit at the back on his phone and act like he wasn't listening, but I knew he was listening. Sit on his phone and look around everywhere but at me. We were praying all along. He came over to England. How long ago did you come?
Since August.
August he came over to do some work. He's going to help me build a shed. It's dangerous when you volunteer to build a minister's shed. So he helped lay the foundation. And I watched him working. He worked alongside a couple of our other men. And we never pushed him, but I knew the Lord was at work. And I'm glad that he's with us tonight. He recently saved and just wants to be with us. He's never left since August. I don't think we're ever going to get rid of him. But it's okay, because he's very handy. He's a carpenter, and he's very handy. But I'm glad he's here. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to let him say a few things, and I'll stand here with him, if you'd like me to. And hopefully that'll help. But let's just pray together. Father in heaven, it is our privilege to gather together tonight, to worship Thee, to sing praises to Thee, and also to hear of Thy great work in the lives of sinners. We know, Lord, each one of us, if we are saved, are at best sinners saved by grace. We thank You for Thy mercy and Thy patience. How for years You have dealt with us patiently. Lord, my prayer tonight is, if there are others in this room, like Reuben was a few months ago, that in hearing this young man's testimony, they may believe that there's hope for them and believe that this message is for them as well. We thank Thee, Lord, for the work of grace that has begun and we trust will continue. Help my brother now as he speaks of Thy grace in his life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Don't drink all that now.
No, I don't. You already shared a lot of what I have to say, but as many of you, I was raised in a good Christian family. My dad was a very good example of what you're supposed to be of a Christian. And I thought my dad was just weird because he was the only one. But since then, almost every member in my family started to become a real believer. And then I lost Tamara and Lau, and I thought they were crazy because they had a nice house and they just left everything behind them and go to Crown for 3 years. That's stupid. And after that, every brother and sister every sibling I had, I just lost because I thought they were dull and boring. Because Christian life was boring. But one day, two people on the same day said to me that God was going to do some great things in my life and that God's going to use me, and I didn't want that. So I thought, no, I'm not a pastor. Please not. I'm a carpenter. I'm not a pastor. So ever since then, I tried to provoke God and do everything to get it out of my head, because I didn't want to. And then I was on a prayer meeting on a Tuesday night in Birmingham, and the pastor was talking about Exodus 35, about the man who built the temple, and God called him by name. He called Bezalel by name to serve the Lord. And he also said, such men like Bezalel is as much worth in the eyes of God as King David or Solomon or whoever. So you don't have to be a pastor or evangelist or whatever. You can serve the Lord with your hands, by building and by talking to people. And that opened my eyes because, pastor was nothing for me. I don't want to be a pastor. I hated to stay here and stand here and to talk to you guys. But then something was in the way between me and God. And the next morning I realized that the relationship I was in was standing between me and God. It was a bad relationship. It wasn't a bad girl, but it was a bad relationship for over a year. And I went from within a few hours from I'm going to marry her to I need to get rid of her really fast. And that's unbelievable. No offense. But, and I've never felt such confident by making a single decision in my life. I knew that what I was about to do was the best decision I was ever going to make. And that same day, that Wednesday, I went from one relationship to another, from a relationship with a human to a relationship with God. And that's the very best decision ever could be made. And like we just sang, all the sins are in the depths of the sea. And I did a lot of bad stuff to provoke God and to show Him that I'm not a Christian and I don't want to be a Christian. But He took all my burdens and my sins away, because He died for me on the cross. And if He could save me, then He could save everyone in the world. Because who am I? But been a great change in my life since Jesus came into my heart. And the Thursday after that, the day after that, I was in a guest lecture of Pastor McRae. And he said, go and testify of God's work in your life, and starting with your friends and family. And on that very same moment, my sister called, and she is one of the two of my family who don't believe yet. And I could start right away with testifying of God's work. And because what he did to me, I don't want anything else. And it's the best thing ever happened to me. Thank you very much.
Well done. I can testify that's true. Because my shed still isn't finished. And I don't really care. Because God used that to get him over here, over there, and to get saved. And I rejoice at that. And every time I walk in that shed, I'll think of God's grace in Reuben's life. Looking forward to seeing what God will do. I think we've got a couple of other songs just before we open God's Word together. Come along, if you would, students, back up here. I owe it all to you. Is that right? Pardon me. It's Still the Blood with everybody. And then the quartet will do I Owe It All to You.
Once I wandered in sin's dark night, and there was no way I could make my wrongs right. Then the old accuser to the Lord did cry, he is a sinner, and now he must die. But then I heard a voice say, Father, I'll go, and I'll pay his sin debt in Calvary's flow. I'll bear in my body the marks of the cross to save this child who is sin sick and lost. And it's still the blood that saves from sin. It's still they do, and some men they count on the times they pray through. But when the battle's over and the victory's been won, I'll go home through the blood of the Father's precious Son. And it's still the blood that saves from sin. It's still to the depths of the sea, it is still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me.
make it what you have it be. I'm your child and you're my father. I'm the clay and you're the potter. Lord, you're the best thing that's ever happened to me.
You've been my friend.
I want you to pray with me, please. I don't know if you realize that this is a very rare thing for us in England. I don't know if you understand what you have here. There are some young people here who've grown up their entire lives and never known more than five other Christian young people their age. Less than that. Most of their lives have gone to churches where there weren't anybody, anyone their age. Never dreamed of a meeting like this. This is very special. If you are a Christian tonight, I want you to pray that God would speak to you and to those who are lost. If you're not saved tonight, would you pray that God would save you? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we confess we don't really know what we have, even in this room tonight. But we thank thee for it. We thank thee for this gathering of young people this evening. Many, without a doubt, are hungry. Hungry for thee, for thy word. Hungry for direction and vision. And I pray tonight that thy word would fill them and that they would not be disappointed. There are no doubt some here this evening who have not come to hear the word, but have come for other reasons. And we pray that by the time this meeting is over, that would change. Save souls, we pray. Challenge the Christian. We pray for the one who is somewhere in between. They know Thee as Savior, but they're stuck between the world and Thee. Help them to hear what we've just heard, that we owe it all to Thee, Lord. We ask as we open Thy Word that Thy Holy Spirit would descend upon this congregation, that He might move in and through us, that every one of us would sense Thy presence. We pray for the kind of anointing and unction that we've only ever heard about, that may make a lasting change and difference. Speak to us, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. I'd like for you to turn to John chapter 12, if you would. I want to share with you my life verse. I don't know if you do this kind of a thing in this country, but in America, oftentimes Christians adopt a verse, claim it as their life verse, a verse that was instrumental in some way in speaking to them and dealing with them. That changes from time to time. When God first saved me, it was Philippians chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. It was my prayer that Christ would be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. When I started ministering in England, God gave me this verse. I went to visit some of the young people in my church, some teenagers. They were the first teenagers ever to come to our church in Oxford. And I went to visit their grandmother who was dying. I prayed with her and read the scriptures. And after the time of prayer, she looked at me and she said, "Every time you pray, a verse comes to mind." I waited to hear what it might be, and she quoted this verse in John chapter 12 and verse 24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." I was a little bit confused and went home and began to study the scriptures, and God began to speak to me. Verse 24 we know to be a parable about the death of Christ. Jesus was prophesying of His own death. But in verse 25, He drags you and I into it. "He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." And there really are only two kinds of people in this room tonight. Those who love their lives and those who hate their lives, or literally disregard their lives. There's nothing in between. Which one are you? "He that loveth his life," that's the motto of today's age. Self-love. That's what the world tells you. Young people are being plagued by depression and mental illness more than ever before. And the remedy is wrapped up with this answer that is constantly being propagated from the lips of the world. Just love yourself more. But the problem is, the more you love yourself, the more you lose yourself. And there are no doubt many people in this room this evening who are completely enamored with your own self. Infatuated. And all of your energy, all of your life, all of your effort goes to fulfilling your desires. You live for you. In fact, even all that which looks good has a motive of self-preservation and self-fulfillment. You come to meetings like this, you dress well, you do what you need to do, but it's all so that you can get something out of it for you. Maybe the approval of someone else. Maybe the attention of someone else. We are living in a society, in a generation that is intoxicated with a love for themselves. And it might just be that you are one of them. And this is what Jesus Christ means when he says in verse 24, that except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. Do you know why so many young people are battling depression? It's because their eyes and their attention is totally on themselves. And the advice to love yourself is only exasperating the problem. A seed, I'm not the most clever chap in the world, but I do know that a seed is meant to be planted. A corn of wheat or a kernel of wheat is meant to be planted, not to be held on to. A corn of wheat in this parable in verse 24 is symbolic of your life. Would you look this way for a moment? You are the corn of wheat. Your life is a corn of wheat. And what you do with it will determine whether you die alone or fruitful. Right now, many of you are living such a selfish life that all you have is you. The only friends you have are friends that can benefit you. You're trying to get something out of them. And Christ tells us that unless a corn of wheat dies, it will forever be just that, a single corn of wheat. And God gives us the unique privilege of choosing what you're going to do with your life. You can hold on to it if you want to. That's exactly what many of you are doing. If you could imagine a grain of wheat sitting in the palm of your hand, that is precisely where some of you, the position some of you are in tonight, your life you are still holding tightly onto. And you're pampering it. You take good care of it. Maybe some of you hit the gym. Some of you ladies are constantly looking after your hair and perfumes and colognes and all sorts of things to make sure that your life is well taken care of. We put so much energy into ourselves. We spend so much money on ourselves. We spend so much time on entertaining ourselves. And some of you are petting and pampering and dressing up your little kernel of wheat. But when it's all said and done, you will have just that. One corn of wheat and one wasted corn of wheat. What would you think of a farmer that placed his kernels of wheat upon his dresser every night and left them? You think he's mad. You tell him that corn of wheat is meant to be planted, not placed up on a mantel place somewhere to be viewed and pampered and petted. That's precisely the same argument that should be used in your own life. The most troubling thing is that most of us don't even realize that we're wasting our lives one day at a time. Jesus said, it abides alone. And Christian, if you've been born again, this is precisely why we see so little fruitfulness today, so little fruit, is because we are so enamored with ourselves. And you cannot expect God to use you. You cannot expect any fruit as long as all of your attention is on you. But there's another option. But if, I like the word if. If gives us another alternative. You can either be like the rest of the world that lives for yourself and dies for yourself and therefore dies alone, or you can have this if option. But if it die, there's your option. Except or unless a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. So here's your other option tonight. You can either love your life, as Jesus says in verse 25, and lose it one day at a time, Or you can come to the point where you draw a line in the sand and you say, from this day forward, I will no longer live for me. That's what Jesus meant when he says, he that hateth his life. Literally, that word means he that disregards it. You can come to the point tonight where you say, I will no longer live for me. But by God's grace, from this day forward, I'll live for him. But there's a process. Again, if you take the illustration of a farmer, he holds the wheat in his hand, and until the wheat leaves his hand, it cannot possibly enter the ground and bring forth fruit. And your life right now, for many of you, is still residing in the palm of your hand. And until you get to the point when you are willing to let go, as Reuben testified a moment ago this evening, there are perhaps, for some of you, some relationship, some job, some dream, some ambition that stands between you and Christ Jesus. And until you let go, you will never have what God intends for you to have. We laughed when Reuben said he made the best decision of his life when he dropped his girlfriend. But it might be that's exactly what you need to do. I'm not trying to wreck anybody's relationship, but if someone stands between you and Jesus Christ, the best thing you can do is cut it off as soon as you possibly can. That may sound rash, and it may sound harsh and unkind, but I would not waste my life because I'm madly in love with someone who isn't madly in love with Christ, would you? Would you like to stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords one day, whose eyes are like burning fiery coals? Would you like to stand before him one day and explain to him why you chose a boyfriend or a girlfriend as opposed to him? Or a dream? A career? Some of you are chasing dreams. When God first saved me, I was 18 years old. I had just enrolled into university to study medicine. At the Ohio State University, at the time it was the largest university in America, some 55,000 students. And I knew that God was calling me into something else, but I just did not want to give that up. That was my dream. And for 2 years, the most miserable 2 years of my life, I wrestled. I wrestled with God. Some of you tonight are wrestling. Wrestling with your dream and His will. Loving your life or disregarding it, placing it in the hands of Almighty God. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground. Well, it cannot fall into the ground until you open your hand and let it go. And again, I'm not a farmer, but I do know unless the corn of wheat goes into the ground, buried. Now here's the part where we lose some young people. Because if a corn of wheat is buried, then it means nobody sees it anymore. And only when you realize that the life that God has given you is not to be seen by man, but to be lived before Him, only when you realize that your life is to be lived in front of God and not in front of these, as much as you may love them and as good as you may be, until you get to the place where you say, I'd rather be buried with Christ, in Christ, and no one ever know my name again than to be known by all these people and be useless to His kingdom. You can remain on the surface level so everybody sees you and you make a good name for yourself, or you can take the pattern of Christ who made Himself of no reputation. Isn't it funny? We spend most of our lives trying to make a reputation for ourselves. And Jesus made Himself of no reputation. Buried. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. One of the hardest things in the entire world to do is to die to self. And it is the overwhelming theme of the Christian life. Die. Pride and arrogance is so strong that the last thing you want to do is die. And the younger you are, it seems, the longer you're in this stage of life, then the more arrogant you become. You've always got some smart answer. I know, I've been there and sometimes still act like it, but the longer we're here in this stage, this is the most challenging stage to die. Because at this stage in your life, you feel more alive than ever. You feel your own strength and your youthfulness, but you can learn to die now. I wonder sometimes, I speak to young people and I think, that is such an arrogant young man. I wonder, was I like that myself? Surely I never talked like that. You've got to die. There's a man in my church, he's in his 70s. He was an international rock star back in the 80s. International rock star from England. And he told me that he met a friend when he was at the height of his music career. He met a friend who was a believer. He went in to visit him who was dying. And the man said to him, "Jeff, you've got to die." And Jeff brushed it off. Very famous musician, traveled the world, went to America, got involved in all sorts of sinful activity and behavior, earned all kinds of money. But today he lives in a council house. Lost every penny, wasted every penny, and wasted years of his life. He started coming to our church a number of years ago, and he said, "I spent the last 30 years in the wilderness, wasting his life." He's still trying to learn how to die. You read it over and over. "I die daily." We read it again. "Mortify the deeds of the flesh." John the Baptist had it right when he said, "I must decrease and he must increase." And the key to living a life that means something is death. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, look at this, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now look here for just a moment. You've got a choice. You can die alone. And when you stand before Jesus Christ one day, you'll have nothing to offer, nothing to show for. Or today you can die and live a life of fruitfulness. Much fruit. And I don't know about you, but I'm tired of living a life that's wasted. I'm tired of making stupid decisions so that I wake up in the morning thinking, "Why did I do that?" I'm tired of going through the motions and acting like I'm a Christian and not actually believing and living it out. I want to do something with my life that will bring forth eternal dividends. But that'll never happen until we die. Until you die. And it can begin tonight. It'll begin tonight. If God allows you, it'll begin tonight. And it will proceed every single day with the same thought, "I must die, so that Christ Jesus will live in me." Paul said it in Galatians chapter 2. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Can you imagine? Look around for just a moment. Can you imagine what God could do with this amount of young people in this island? Can you imagine? Just let yourself imagine for a moment that God would actually use you. And believe me, He would use you. If you only died and gave yourself to Him. Many will walk out of the room tonight and go back to the way they've always been living their life, and they'll waste it one more day at a time, one week, one month, one year at a time, until either they meet some tragedy and they're forced to change through tragedy, or else they continue down the road you're on now until the day you die. But some, maybe one, maybe two, maybe a handful tonight in this place will say, "God, by your grace, I want to die so dead to self that you might live in me and through me for your glory and for much fruit." You can't have both. You cannot chase your dreams and live your life and also have much fruit. You can't do it. And that's why so very few will take the choice and make the decision today. Very few. Because the cost is too high for you. It's too high. Jesus didn't lower the bar when he told his disciples in Luke chapter 14 that unless, in verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciples. Why is Jesus talking about hate? Hate your life and hate all these people? No, there it is again. Disregard. Meaning your love for Christ is so much more superior than your love for anyone else. That you don't even give it a second thought as to who you're following. That's a high price to pay. Or whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Most of us don't even know what a cross looks like, let alone what it feels like to bear a cross for Christ. We shrink with embarrassment when we get around people our own age. And you do the very same, even in a meeting like this tonight. Watch, just watch after the meeting how quickly the conversation goes south. Because we're afraid or embarrassed of what people will think of us if we speak about things that really matter. Count the cost. If tonight, if you die, you can bring forth much fruit. One of you, just one, needs to have enough courage to say, I'm a dead man. Some of you tonight need to go home and conduct your own funeral service. Not literally, but spiritually speaking. Mark it down somewhere that this was the day you died. The free church needs more preachers. And every other denomination does as well. There are more women willing to do the job than men. Because we're too busy worrying about fast cars and telephones and more money. But it might be that God will stir in some of you tonight. Ladies, the world could use a few more missionaries, Sunday school teachers. The world could use you. And God would use you if you just died. You got a choice. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. You can keep your life right now. But when it's over, it's over. Or you can give it up tonight. And keep it and many others for the rest of eternity. What will you do? Would you stand with me? Let's pray together. Let's stand together. Let's pray. Father, only you know what is keeping us from surrendering our lives to Thee. Only heaven knows. And I pray that this evening, there might be more men and women in this congregation who would be willing to draw a line in the sand and say enough is enough. That we might be able to sing for the first time in sincerity, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. I don't know, Lord, what Thou art doing, but I pray that it would be for eternal reward and benefit tonight. If there are lost people here, save them. Help them to realize that they are wasting their lives and on a fast track to hell. Help them to see that Christ Jesus gave His all that they might be saved. For those who have made professions of faith and are still spending their life prodigally on themselves, we pray that tonight will be the end of that life and the beginning of a new life. a prosperous life in Christ, a fruitful life in the Savior. That we might be able to rejoice with angels in heaven over lives that are surrendered to Thee, knowing that many souls shall be brought into the kingdom because of this day that we died. Help us, we pray. Take, Lord, Thy word, apply it to our hearts, and let not one of us escape untouched, we pray. For we ask it in Jesus Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.
Maybe we could just bow our heads. In the closing moments of the meeting, and can I take the opportunity to thank Pastor Moreland for his message tonight. And I believe the Lord has been speaking in this meeting. He's been speaking to young people, speaking to hearts. And I don't know who the Lord has been speaking to and what He's been saying, but maybe the Lord has been speaking to your heart tonight. And maybe tonight is decision time for you. And in the closing moments of this meeting, I just want to give an opportunity. Before we go up the stairs and conversation, as Pastor Moreland has already intimated, moves on to less spiritual things, maybe you can take this opportunity now, even in the closing moments of this meeting, to speak to the Lord. I wonder if we could maybe just sing prayerfully that lovely chorus. I had it down earlier to sing, "By and by when I look on His face, beautiful face, thorn-shadowed face. By and by when I look on His face, I'll wish I'd given Him more." Surely we can all sing that tonight. And what a challenge that is to the believer. That surety that we will stand one day before our Lord and Saviour, and we will give an account for our time here upon the earth and for what we've done and what we haven't done. And maybe the Lord's challenging some young person here tonight to do something more for Him, even tomorrow, even in school or university or the workplace, wherever it might be. We'll not all be called to the mission field, or as Reuben said earlier, to stand behind a pulpit. But the Lord can use us where He's placed us. So maybe we can just sing a verse or two of this in the closing moments, and we'll remain seated and we'll sing it prayerfully as unto the Lord. And we'll think earnestly about the words, and we'll make it even the prayer of our heart tonight. We'll just get a note and then we'll sing it unaccompanied.
By and by,
I look His face, beautiful face, Lord, shadow face. By and by, when I look His face, I wish I had given. Yeah.
Father, we thank you for the meeting that we've had tonight. Lord, how it has done our souls good to have been here. Lord, we thank you for the Spirit, the presence in the meeting. And Lord, even as the voice of the preacher falls silent and as we move up the stairs, Lord, we do pray that you would be with us and guide us in the days that lie ahead. And Lord, may we not wish we had given you more. Lord, while we still have the time, may we use the time wisely. May we do something more for thee. Lord, how aware we are that the night will come sooner than we think. The time will be forever complete for us. And there'll be no more opportunity for us to speak to those outside of Christ. There'll be no more opportunity in work, no more opportunity in school, no more opportunity to our friends, our family, our neighbours. Lord, may we take the opportunity while there's still time, for the night cometh and we'll not be able to work. Lord, we thank you for the meeting. We thank you for the Spirit in the meeting. Speak on to us, Lord, we pray. Bless the food to our bodies. May we eat and drink to thine honour and to thy glory, and then separate us in thy fear and in thy favour. For we ask it in the Saviour's great name. Amen.